The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Hello and welcome to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We are coming to you today from Jerusalem, Israel. I'm Brent Nachtigall, filling in for Stephen Fleury. Israel might seem like a strange place to take the show from today, given that it's Thanksgiving Day in the United States of America. But even as Stephen Fleury brought out yesterday in his program, the genesis really of America's greatness took place in and around Israel with the man Abraham. And if you haven't listened to that, I would go back and listen to yesterday's program. It'll be eye-opening for you to really see where America's greatness came from and how that greatness was in fact prophesied in your Bible. So even though we are in Israel, we are still honoring Abraham Lincoln's declaration of this National Day of Thanksgiving. He said in that declaration, as we'll hear even later on in today's program, that he called upon those that were at sea and sojourning in a far country. And given that my wife is an American and so is my daughter, we will be keeping this day as well. But really, from the very beginning of the United States, this day was set apart to give thanks. But to give thanks to who? Who was deserving of thanks for the bountiful richness, physical beauty, and fertile lands that America had? Who was the one that thanks was to be directed to? Obviously, this day was intended from its institution to be a praise for or praise of and a thankfulness of God, or thankfulness to God for giving so many rich blessings to Americans, and really spending time with one another and striving to acknowledge God as the giver of all good things for us is something that anybody can do. You don't have to be American to do this. God gives us all so much more than we deserve. But I just wonder today, on this day of Thanksgiving in 2016, how many Americans are spending their time in thanksgiving to God for the mighty, benevolent gifts that he has bestowed upon them in that country? Just today's main headline on the Drudge Report was this: Americans have the most hope in a decade. Now, why do they have hope? Why are they so happy? Why do they have this exuberance? At least many of them have that most hope in a decade, as it says there. Well, the link to that article says this, and it doesn't have too much to do with Thanksgiving for the right reasons. It says this: consumer confidence rose more than previously reported to a six-month high in November, showing Americans became more optimistic about their finances and the economy after Donald Trump won the presidential election. This is why Americans have more hope in the past decade, because they've got hope in Donald Trump for reversing the economic losses they might have felt over the previous decade. We have a new president coming in. There's hope, and we can tell there's hope because people are spending more money. That is kind of what we've got in America today on Thanksgiving. People are looking forward to tomorrow, when they can go out and buy, get some good deals, spend their time shopping. There's reason for hope in America because people are spending more money. But there is a greater source of hope for Americans, and we're going to even talk about some of that to today's program. But the new president-elect, he did give a Thanksgiving message today, and I'd like to play that for you right now.
We are very blessed to call this nation our home, and that's what America is. It is our home. It's where we raise our families, care for our loved ones, look out for our neighbors, and live out our dreams. It's my prayer that on this Thanksgiving, we begin to heal our divisions and move forward as one country, strengthened by shared purpose and very, very common resolve. In declaring this national holiday, President Lincoln called upon Americans to speak with one voice and one heart. That's just what we have to do. We've just finished a long and bruising political campaign. Emotions are raw and tensions just don't heal overnight. It doesn't go quickly, unfortunately. But we have before us the chance now to make history together, to bring real change to Washington, real safety to our cities, and real prosperity to our communities, including our inner cities. So important to me and so important to our country. But to succeed, we must enlist the effort of our entire nation. This historic political campaign is now over, but now begins a great national campaign to rebuild our country and to restore the full promise of America for all of our people. I'm asking you to join me in this effort. It's time to restore the bonds of trust between citizens, because when America is unified, there is nothing beyond our reach, and I mean absolutely nothing. Let us give thanks for all that we have, and let us boldly face the exciting new frontiers that lie ahead. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
That was President-elect Donald Trump's message to Americans this Thanksgiving. He said some pretty good things in there about coming together and healing our nation, and he said that we can do this, healing our country by shared purpose and common resolve, and, you know, strengthening our inner cities, working together in one unified voice. But really, there wasn't too much of a mention of where we need to give thanks. He said, yes, we need to give thanks of all that we have, but to who? Where do we give thanks to? Who made America great in the first place? Again, please go ahead and listen to yesterday's program by Stephen Flurry to really get that right foundation to see the genesis again of America's greatness. Now, he did mention or reference President Lincoln's proclamation. He said that President Lincoln called upon Americans to speak with one voice and one heart. That's just what we have to do, he said. But to what end were they to speak with one voice and one heart? If we're to go back to President Lincoln and when he actually made that proclamation, that was a call from him to call out to God with one voice and one heart. Not about just coming together, speaking with one unified voice. It was speaking with a unified voice to get through to God. Now, before we get to Abraham Lincoln's real famous proclamation, we're going to go back to the very first president, George Washington, who did proclaim a day of Thanksgiving as well. But he also tacked on to the end of it a day of Thanksgiving and prayer. And prayer. What happened to that? When did the Thanksgiving in America, when did we forget that it was also to be a day of prayer? He says in this resolution that went before Congress, he said it was to be a day of public thanksgiving and prayer devoted to the service of the great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. Now, I want you to listen to it. This, of course, isn't George Washington speaking, but it does make it live a little bit when you hear it audibly. Again, this is George Washington's first proclamation about a day of thanksgiving and prayer.
Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies, and the favorable interpositions of His providence which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one, now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he hath been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and Ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shewn kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the 3rd day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1789. George Washington.
So you can see there in that there was just so much, or so many references to God being the one that gave the blessings to them, to use this day to beseech God, beseech his mercy for the national sins and national transgressions of the United States, the new nation. And there was so much in there of just being very detailed and very specific about what they needed to thank God for, the blessings that he had bestowed upon them. Now, in the years following that proclamation from George Washington, each state scheduled its own Thanksgiving holiday at different times, mainly in New England and the other northern states. But when it came around to Lincoln, Josepha Hale, a 74-year-old magazine editor, she wrote a letter to him on September 28, 1863, again, 74 years after Washington's proclamation, urging him to have a day of annual Thanksgiving and to make that a national and fixed Union festival throughout the Union. She explained, quote, this is from her letter, "You may have observed that for some years past there has been an increasing interest felt in our land to have the Thanksgiving held on the same day in all the states. It now needs national recognition and authoritative fixation only to become permanently an American custom and institution." Now, receiving this letter, President Lincoln, he responded immediately, unlike several of his predecessors who for the previous 15 years had ignored her petitions altogether. Lincoln agreed that it was time to make this so. And just 5 days after receiving that request, that letter, he made it so on October 3rd, 1863. Now, it's good to remember also that this was given at the height of the Civil War when the United States needed unity. It needed to come together in firm resolve. But how would that be achieved? How would unity be achieved? Abraham Lincoln had a different idea than what President-elect Trump had in his minute-and-a-half speech. Anyway, take a listen. But before I do, I should thank Yancey Evans from YouTube for putting this together.
The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations. Order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict, while that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union. Needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. Population has steadily increased, and the country, rejoicing in consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increases of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and voice, by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also, with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, commend to his tender care all those that have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union.
And that was again the President of the United States of America, Abraham Lincoln, giving the official proclamation October 3rd, 1863, to celebrate this day of national thanksgiving. And notice in that that they were experiencing a time of extreme hardship because of the Civil War. And he asked people to fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation. That's how Abraham Lincoln went about healing the wounds in America, and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. That's how he wanted to heal the nation. That's the only way that it would come about. Now let me just play one more time the Thanksgiving message from Mr. Donald Trump.
We are very blessed to call this nation our home, and that's what America is. It is our home. It's where we raise our families, care for our loved ones, look out for our neighbors, and live out our dreams. It's my prayer that on this Thanksgiving, we begin to heal our divisions and move forward as one country, strengthened by shared purpose and very, very common resolve. In declaring this national holiday, President Lincoln called upon Americans to speak with one voice and one heart. That's just what we have to do. We've just finished a long and bruising political campaign. Emotions are raw and tensions just don't heal overnight. It doesn't go quickly, unfortunately. But we have before us the chance now to make history together, to bring real change to Washington, real safety to our cities, and real prosperity to our communities, including our inner cities, so important to me and so important to our country. But to succeed, we must enlist the effort of our entire nation. This historic political campaign is now over, but now begins a great national campaign to rebuild our country and to restore the full promise of America for all of our people. I'm asking you to join me in this effort. It's time to restore the bonds of trust between citizens, because when America is unified, there is nothing beyond our reach, and I mean absolutely nothing. Let us give thanks for all that we have, and let us boldly face the exciting new frontiers that lie ahead. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Now, he's absolutely right. America does need to be unified. It's bruised, torn, divided. Now, if Lincoln, who is apparently one of Mr. Trump's favorite presidents, were here, what solution would he have for the divided Union? Well, we know what he would have done. He saw the country in the midst of civil war, and he knew that the only hope, really, the only hope for the nation was to turn to God. And evidence of that, the very same year that he gave his that declaration of a national day of Thanksgiving, he gave another proclamation. This was about 8 months earlier. It was brought into effect April 30th, and this time it was a national day of fasting. Not Thanksgiving, but for fasting, for national repentance. Here it is.
It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. And insomuch as we know that by His divine law, nations, like individuals, are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world, may we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war which now desolates the land may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins, to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people? We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined, in the deceitfulness of our hearts, that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens.
Now, that was from YouTube once again, from somebody called 61 Years, and I thank you for that. Hearing that message is extremely stirring. Mr. Lincoln understood the source of America's greatness. He understood that it came from God, and he warned against thinking that a human being, a puny human being, could make America great. And again, Stephen Fleury went through this on yesterday's program. Now, that proclamation that you just heard, the one for national fasting, it really does have the style and content of a much earlier message. This is a message that was given to the nation of Israel as they overlooked the Promised Land. Just before they took the Promised Land there in the hills of Jordan, just north of the Dead Sea, there for 1 month, Moses gave the book of Deuteronomy, 3 sermons to them as a warning from God of what they needed to do once they took the Promised Land, once they experienced the bounty that God was about to give them. What should they do? And what should they watch out for in their own thinking? Now, I'm just going to read Deuteronomy. You can read along if you like. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 7 to 18. And this is what it says. Again, this is Moses just to the Israelites before they took their Promised Land. For the Eternal your God brings you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil and honey, a land wherein you shall eat bread without scarceness. You shall not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you may dig brass. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Eternal your God for the good land which he has given you. But beware that you forget not the Eternal your God in not keeping his commandments and his statutes and his judgments which I have commanded you this day, lest when you are eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Eternal your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought you forth water out of the rock of flint, who led you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not, that he might humble you, that he might prove you, to do you good in your latter end. And you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. But you shall remember the Eternal your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant, which he swore unto his father, as it is to this day. Now coming into America, God was doing the very same thing, with that nation. He was going to give them the choicest of land. And even as Abraham Lincoln then said in that address, that we should beware not to forget God. And he said that we have forgotten God. We've forgotten the fact that he gave all those gifts, that he made America great. And it's only in his power to do so. Now, really, as I said, coming into America or going into the promised land, God was really doing the same thing. And you can prove that. These were the same people. The United States makes up part of the nation of Israel. And if you want to prove that, again, listen to yesterday's show, but also request the United States and Britain in prophecy. It will open up your Bible to your understanding. And it'll make it live. And you'll see how it is in effect even to this day, those promises of national greatness or those promises being taken away. Now, it's unlikely that a leader in America or even in the nation of Israel today is going to stand up and remind the people of the source of their blessings. That's extremely unlikely. But no one is stopping you from acknowledging God as the source of your blessings, especially on this day of Thanksgiving. As you do, God will respond. He's a father. Which father wouldn't respond to a child that thanks him continuously for the abundance that he supplies? Again, this was the original intent of this day of thanksgiving and prayer. Now, I'll include at the bottom of the show notes today some of those, all of those proclamations that you can read and go through yourself to just see how much those forefounders, or the founders really of America and some of the greatest leaders of the United States, really did understand powerfully that it was only by God's great mercy and by God's blessing and bestowal of these gifts that America was great. To conclude today's program, I'd like to play a clip now from Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Flory. This was recorded a few years ago on location in Gettysburg. And it has a message for all of us, really, today, this Thanksgiving. I'm Brent Nachtigall, and this was the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, again coming to you from Jerusalem, Israel, this Thanksgiving Day.
I'm speaking to you today from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. This is a place where a terrible battle was fought. 48,000 men died here in Gettysburg during the Civil War, one of the greatest and most important battles of that war. 48,000 men died in 3 days. We only had 58,000 men die during the Vietnam War in 10 years. But here, we had so many die in such a short amount of time. That happened in America. All that bitterness and all that hatred was on this soil and happened in this very area. And of course, we see quite a lot of division, even in America today. Abraham Lincoln became very discouraged at one time in the war because there was so much evil going on. People were lying and they were doing all kinds of terrible things, and he couldn't understand that. He was a very righteous man. And he said, here we are on the brink of destruction, and yet we have people going around and telling lies that you couldn't even impose upon a child ordinarily. Why is that? He saw great evil in the land, and that offended his righteousness. And I want to talk to you about two proclamations that were made in the year 1863, both of them very closely related, and frankly, both of them revolving around God and sin. Here is what Abraham Lincoln said. We find ourselves in the peaceful possession of the fairest portion of the earth as regards fertility of soil, extent of territory, and salubrity of climate. We find ourselves a legal inheritance of these fundamental blessings. We toil not in the acquirement or the establishment of them. Where did we get all of these blessings in America, the wealthiest, richest nation in the world? Abraham Lincoln said, we didn't toil for that. It was given to us. And of course, we've been telling you that for years. But in a proclamation, April 30th, 1863, for a nationwide day of fasting and prayer, here is what Mr. Lincoln said. It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. Can you imagine a president talking that way today, or a member of Congress? That those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord? Pretty strong statement, would offend a lot of people, but he said it. Mr. Lincoln goes on to say, we have been the recipients of the choicest blessings of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. But we have forgotten God. Now, if he thought they had forgotten God then, how about today? How about this time in America? He goes on to say, we have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined the deceitfulness of our hearts, or in the deceitfulness of our hearts, that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. All this wealth, all these blessings in this country, more than any place on this earth, where did we get those blessings? Where did they come from? Well, Abraham Lincoln began to realize very deeply that they came from God, and he was trying to convey that to the people in America at that time and get them to think about God. Now, we have all these blessings because of another Abraham in the Bible who was obedient to God, and we've explained it in our booklet on the United States and Britain in prophecy for years, that we were given all these blessings as a result of Abraham's obedience. Mr. Lincoln said that America at that time had forgotten God. And look how much worse it is today. If you want to make some comparisons, how much worse is it today than it was then? And yet he said they had forgotten God. Is it because we too have forgotten God? Is that the heart of the problem? Well, we need to learn from this greatest of all presidents, as far as I'm concerned, in the United States. He concludes by saying, intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity for redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Then that president, he set aside a national day of prayer and fasting. But he said, God has been offended by what we've done, by our rebellion in this war, our belief in slavery, and certain problems like that in this land. And he said, we need to confess our national sins. Confess our national sins. Just a few months before this battle here at Gettysburg, after the North had lost victories in Chancellorsville and Fredericksburg. Abraham Lincoln went into his room and locked the door, got down on his knees, and prayed to God for victory at Gettysburg. It was already beginning to build, and he knew there was going to be a battle there. Prayed to God, according to Wayne Whipple, one of his biographers, that God would give him victory, and he made a vow to God and said, if you give us victory, I will stand by you, and I will take a stand for you every opportunity I have. And I think Abraham Lincoln did. Now, it is interesting that the tide of war changed here in Gettysburg. Who changed that? Did prayer to God change that? If we were to bring our nation to its knees today, if we had a president or a Congress that had the courage to do that, what a difference it would make in our land. And what a difference it made during the Civil War. Here's a little more of that proclamation. He says, whereas a joint committee of both houses of Congress has waited on the President of the United States and requested him to recommend a day of public humiliation, prayer, and fasting to be observed by the people of the United States with religious solemnities and the offering of fervent supplications to Almighty God for the safety and welfare of these states. Both houses of Congress, the House of Representatives and the Senate, asking the President to have a day of fasting and prayer that God might heal the nation. The nation was healed. The war changed here at Gettysburg and began to then go in the favor of the North. And the Union was saved. The Union was saved. But imagine that happening today in this land. The President and both houses of Congress praying to God and having a day of fasting and prayer to heal the land. What a difference that would make regarding our problems today. I mean, actually recognizing the supreme government of God, that would be refreshing indeed. But he went on to talk about the sins of the nation. And this proclamation also reads, and whereas when our own beloved country, once by the blessing of God, united, prosperous, and happy, is now afflicted with faction and war. And he went on to say a little further, we need to humble ourselves before him and to pray for his mercy, to pray that way we may be spared further punishment, though most justly deserved. At the end of the war, according to, again, to Wayne Whipple, one of his biographers, after General Lee surrendered at Appomattox, President Lincoln got all of his cabinet together and they bowed down on their knees and thanked God that the war was over. They thanked God that it was over. The whole cabinet prayed to God and thanked him. I wonder if that has ever been done since. I wonder if it's ever been done since. There was an official proclamation in October 1864, and I'll just read you a little of that. Again, making certain that we have a day of thanksgiving. And this was set aside, and I'll read you just a little bit of this official proclamation. It says, it has pleased Almighty God to prolong our national life another year, defending us with his guardian care against unfriendly designs from abroad, and vouchsafing to us in his mercy many and signal victories over the enemy. A little further down he says, moreover, he has been pleased to animate and inspire our minds and hearts with fortitude, courage, and resolution sufficient for the great trial of civil war into which we have been brought by our adherence as a nation to the cause of freedom and humanity, and to afford to us reasonable hopes of an ultimate and happy deliverance from all our dangers and afflictions. It was beginning to be turned around in 64, and the war was about over. Now, therefore, I, Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, do hereby appoint and set apart the last Thursday in November next as a day which I desire to be observed by all my fellow citizens wherever they may then be, as a day of thanksgiving and praise to Almighty God, the beneficent creator and ruler of the universe. I mean, this man is sounding somewhat like a prophet of God. A beautiful proclamation. But here's what he wants us to do. And certainly he was thinking about the future America. And I do farther recommend to my fellow citizens aforesaid that on that occasion they do reverently humble themselves in the dust and from thence offer us penitent and fervent prayers and supplications to the great disposer of events for return of the inestimable blessings of peace, union, and harmony throughout the land, which it has pleased him to assign as a dwelling place for ourselves and for our posterity throughout all generations. That's today, ongoing, time ongoing. In testimony whereof I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed, signed, Abraham Lincoln. Now today, as we're facing world cosmicide and a world calamity and a world catastrophe, isn't it time that we think about what Abraham Lincoln said and think about how far we've removed from where they were at that time in relation to God? How far we are from God and how much we can turn our lives around and receive all these blessings that Abraham Lincoln is talking about. That's what we need to be aware of today.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.